Hello everyone and welcome to the Planet FM meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6. My name's Judy and I'm an alcoholic and we'll be chairing our meeting this morning. Could you please help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I'll now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Today our speakers are Rob, Catherine and Derek, and they will be sharing their experience, strength and hope. Right, Rob, would you like to start us off, please?
Yeah, thank you, Judy. Rob, alcoholic. I've been in AA now for 12 years, so I have 12 years of sobriety, and my experience, strength and hope is that in my last 2 years of my drinking, I had lost complete control of drinking and was unable to manage my life very easily. So I decided that I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what to do about it. I ended up having a girlfriend at the time that helped me go through NZ Care, contact them, and then through that process I started doing some work around my drinking. Of course, they were worried about how much I was drinking and asked me to do some controlled drinking that failed quite badly. I tried it, but it didn't work at all, you know. So through that, I was even more struggling, not being able to work, and I decided to take some of their advice and go into a rehab. And the rehab I went into in the end was Higher Ground here in Auckland, and I was living in Tokoroa in the Waikato at that time. And I was very fortunate that my uncle and auntie opened their doors to me and let me move in with them in Glenfield North Shore, and then went through the process of waiting to go to Higher Ground. And I went into Higher Ground, and I expected, of course, that they were going to help me sort out my drinking, and I would be able to walk out of that place and drink again and hang out with people and be quite normal in my life again with alcohol still in my life. And then I found out while I was in there that I was an alcoholic and I was an addict as well, just as much, but alcohol had brought me to my knees. And I found out in there that it had to be all or nothing, and it was quite heartbreaking at the time because I was losing my best friend and I didn't know how my life was going to be able to function without alcohol. To be honest, I thought I was going to become a nerd and have nothing in my life that would be fun anymore. Yeah, that was a very hard process through Higher Ground, but I did graduate Higher Ground. I moved out of Higher Ground and went into Wing Support as well. So I was in Higher Ground for 4.5 months, then in Wings Care for 4 months, and then moved back to my uncle and auntie till I found a job and got back to work. But through that process, I've had to stay very close to AA. And because at 6 months, just before my 6 months birthday, when I was in Wings treatment, I thought I was going to uncontrollably walk out the door, walk into the wholesales and start drinking again. And I had this massive fear. I remember it quite well, you know, even though a lot of time's passed. And I was had a bad week that week. I used to sleep a lot in Wings to hide away from life. I'd just sleep so I wasn't able to do anything stupid. And then I got to 6 months and that, and nothing had happened. And I was still sober, and I was amazed by that. But I still had an underlying fear around my alcoholism. And so I ended up committing myself to a home group, an AA home group. So if you're new in AA, it's just you can make any group your home group. And it's just a place, you know, I thought they would welcome me in and sign the paper, let's all gather and Rob and pat them on the back. But no, they said, well, if you wanted to make your home group, this is your home group. It's as simple as that, you know. Yeah, and that was cool. And it made me stay closer in the circle of AA and stay closer to my fellows. Yeah, and I needed that. And over my my time in recovery, I have come closer to a higher power of my understanding. At first, it was the universe, because the universe was bigger than me and it's beautiful, and it's something that I could stay attached to quite easily. But over the years, it's become my form of God. And I can say that word quite freely now without cringing or thinking it's, you know, like that religious God. But it's a God that's my God that I can talk to, and it's been a major help in my recovery. You know, I can call him bro if I want. I can talk him in any kind of language the way I talk, not for out thou, you know. I can speak how I want to speak to my higher power, and he understands, and that's just awesome. And so I lean heavily on my higher power because, as I've been reminded this month from my girlfriend of all things, that was quite funny, but my best thinking got me into AA. So I have to be careful in what I do and what I think, because my mind can still run away with me, and that grandiose part of me wants to take over, and I need AA to get me to put my feet back on the ground, because if I take my will back and try and take control of the whole show, it tends to go quite badly. I don't end up drinking. And I'm still, you know, I still have my 12 years of sobriety, but I have done some, you know, old behaviours through that time. And what I've had to realise is even through my drinking, I wanted to be drinking and drugging. I wanted to be superhuman. I wanted to be bigger and better than anybody else and not a part of the human race. And now, as I've got through the help of AA, that I'm realizing that, and it's hard to take sometimes, I'm just not that special, and that through working the program of AA, it's actually bringing me closer to a normality of life and being around people more. I still find it easier in the rooms of AA, you know, to get closer to people, and I'm slowly being able to be a bit more comfortable out in the real world. So, you know, life is good, but I have to keep practicing my program, or my old behaviours keep coming back quite easily. But we're, you know, Very good. It's I'm grateful to be sober, and it's a damn sight easier than the madness of drinking. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing, Rob. Catherine, would you like to share now?
Thanks, Judy. Hi, everyone. I'm Catherine. I'm an alcoholic. And thanks, Rob, for opening up. That was awesome. I guess I remember my first drink more than I remember my last. And I guess that, you know, shows the progressiveness of this disease. You know, because I was a little bit of a nerd and I was a little bit shy, and I guess I spent, you know, a lot of forms of escapism in books, and I loved school. And the first time I had a drink, I was 13, and oh my God, I just felt all the changes. You know, I've just felt powerful and funny, and yeah, it was just what I needed. It really was, and so I chased that. And you know, I spent many years in my teens just being an absolute nightmare to my parents, and everything revolved around the next party or getting some money and being able to, you know, be the hot shot in my friend group and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I ended up in hospital a few times and a medical detox, and, you know, these things were just, pitfalls for me, really. I just thought, you know, I just still wanted to drink. I still wanted to act out, and I still wanted to manage my own life. So, you know, things got obviously very bad, and, you know, it got to the point where I did end up having my first child, and, you know, that was, you know, it was a something that my family had hoped would change me, and they were so happy, you know, this might be it for Catherine. And as much as I absolutely love this wee little man that I brought into the world, I my alcoholism was a lot stronger, and that was probably the start of me getting into the doors of recovery. And so following an intervention, I ended up in Higher Ground as well, back in 2000. And I thought I was being sentenced to prison, to be honest. I really hoped that my partner and my parents would sort of say, okay, no, let's just go home, you know, we can sort this out. But it wasn't. They said, you're going and you're staying. And, you know, 4.5 months, took me about 5 weeks to finally stop scheming in my head. I was thinking, I've just got to be more careful when I get out, even more deviant, all that sort of stuff. And it was probably a 5 week family meeting. And I found that I cried for about 3 days. In fact, they were a little bit worried. And it was just almost like some layers were starting to kind of come off. And from that point, I learned so much about this disease. I didn't know it was a disease. I thought I just had no strength or willpower, or I was just a hopeless individual. And so I graduated and I left there feeling really good about life, you know, and it was different back then. You know, I had one child, and I kind of got into other things that I'd never tried before, and it was wonderful. About 5 years into my sobriety, had a sponsee, and I was having another baby at the time, and had another wee one, and she would ring, you know, at the worst times and wake these babies. And I don't know, I guess a lot of resentment started to build, and I wasn't handing my will and my life over. I'd kind of forgotten all about that. You know, life was good. I wasn't drinking. You know, I was being the best mum I could be and a good partner. I didn't see what the problem was. I just didn't see it sneak up on me, and it was that just garden variety complacency, you know. I my youngest, my third child, was 8 weeks old, and I'd had a rough night. You know, we had to sleep in separate rooms, my husband and I, because he had one baby and I had the other baby. And I was just so buggered, and I remembered there were my husband's beer, and I didn't drink beer, but I snapped that can out of that six-pack, jumped in the shower with it, and that was it. And that first feeling was like the first time. You know, it just filled me up, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can do this. I can do this. I've just got to be really careful. I mean, it was shocking. It was horrible. It was really horrible, but I did. And it took 4 months till my husband found out, but he actually found out, and he thought it was the first day I'd picked up. And it was devastating. It was devastating for everybody. And of course there was panic, you know, do we find another rehab? And I didn't want to go to another rehab. So I thought, well, I've got to get back into this fellowship properly, and had really good support, you know, but it was really hard. I kind of sat on the edge. I just was very self-will run riot, and that was me. You know, so I'd get a year up and then I'd go back out, and then I'd get 2 years up and I'd go back out. And, you know, this was my journey. You know, it took me a long, long time. And I think my last drink was devastating. You know, I never experienced blackouts through my drinking. I did have lost a day and a night, and that fear around that stayed with me. It wasn't something that moved away, and it was probably a healthy fear. It wasn't something that was imagined. It was, you know, I was thinking, oh my God, I could kill somebody, and I could wake up in a cell and not know how I've got in there. It was really terrifying. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do this properly. So I found a sponsor, and I'm working the steps so thoroughly. I can feel the change, you know. My kids are absolutely delighted with their mum. My husband, well, you know, he doesn't have to think of me as a ticking time bomb anymore. He knows that I'm serious, you know, and I've got meetings, I've got home groups, I've got friends in the fellowship that are like family, and I really wouldn't change it for the world. I'm so damn grateful, and this higher power thing, it's not so hard. It took a bit of practice, but now I find there's a lot more faith and willingness, and, you know, that is magic. So, oh, yeah, grateful to be alive, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Derek, would you like to share now, please?
Oh, I'm Derek. I'm an alcoholic. Some really good sharing. It's been a really good meeting. I can just share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm 8 years sober, but it's a daily reprieve on my spiritual contingent of my sobriety. And when I came in, I've only fortunately had up till now one rock bottom. And I'd had enough, that was it. I just thought, no, I just can't keep going on like that. I came in January the 15th, 2017, and I was 52, and my birthday was on the 1st of March, and I knew I wasn't going to make 53, and that's only about 6 weeks. I was drinking so badly, I was getting into all the wreckage and carnage. I was drinking to blackout. I just knew something really tragic was going to happen. Came in, and my first meeting, they say, was the 15th of January. And I walked into the room and sat down. I saw step one. And I kept reading it over and over, and I just thought, that's just me. I just thought, my life's completely unmanageable, and when I start drinking, I can't stop. And I just drink to blackout. I also, you know, I drank just as much to celebrate as to commiserate, because, you know, boy, I partied hard, and, you know, if I had a celebration, I went for it, you know, full throttle. So, you know, and things were bad, I just drank just as much to commiserate as well. So I came in, and I'm pretty strong-willed, like most alcoholics, you know, I think I'm right, and I suddenly realised that very early in my sobriety that I was totally responsible for getting my backside on the chair. The decisions I'd made, the decisions I hadn't made, and I had to accept accountability and responsibility for that. And also I was told very early to do 90 meetings in 90 days. I had no concept of what that meant. I had no concept what was involved. But I was so beaten and so broken, I just said, yeah, I'll do it. I thought, and then I just got told, get on with it. I got my routine really, really quickly. And early sobriety, I mean, sobriety's hard because you have to do life on life's terms. And I wasn't prepared for that either. but early sobriety is extremely hard because I spent so much time by the end of my drinking, you know, thinking about it, planning it, you know, actual consumption of it, and then going getting more because I never had enough. It just fulfilled my day. So you have to fill it with something else, you know, because of this huge void that you have. And I decided to throw myself head first into the program. I'd quit my job, and I thought, right, I'm going to give this my best shot. And if I don't manage it, because I'm quite competitive, I can always go back out and drink. And decided to do my 90 meetings in 90 days, got my routine really, really early, you know, got down on my knees and prayed. And I never prayed when, before I came into AA. I just didn't do it. So I got down on my knees and prayed. Then I would get up, my routine, if I found a job, just to get me into a routine. you know, got to a meeting that day if I wasn't feeling too well. Made sure I surrounded myself with alcoholics. And then, you know, hand everything else over to my higher power. And like all sort of reasonable early alcoholics, you know, if I got down my knees and prayed on the Monday, and then I'd wake up on the Tuesday and expect my higher power to have resolved everything and ticked all the boxes and I can go on with my life, and it didn't work that way. I was told, you know, it works if I work at it, and I have to keep constantly working at it and stay humble. I've got a huge ego, and if my ego kicks in, it can go from 0 to 100 in like just a flick of a switch, which is not good. So I've got to stay humble and keep low, keep my head below the parapet, stick to the routine, as I said. I go through my day trying to be a better person, because I was not a nice person when I drank. I really was not a nice person. The things that I did, you know, I lied, I cheated, deceitful, you know, all of the above I did. And it was just to get all what I wanted, you know, and I never got enough because it was never enough, and I just kept doing it, and it was just a downward spiral. And the alcohol, you know, just, that was part and parcel of it. I try and do the next right thing every day. In my early sobriety, I thought up till 6 months. My first 6 months was really tough, really, really tough. And I thought, okay, I've got to do the next right thing for me, myself. Then I went to a meeting about 6 months, and someone shared and said, you have to give it away to keep it. And that meant, obviously, I had to get my mind off myself. And instead of doing something for me every day, I had to do something for someone else and get my mind off myself. And that was, you know, another alcoholic, a friend, a family member, you know, whatever. Just get my mind off myself. And I found that much easier to do. The 90 meetings in 90 days, and I'll wrap up on this, that's when it was changing for me, and that's when I felt it was changing for me. And I was fearful to change it. So I did 6 1990s back to back, and it's kept me sober as well as my higher power. And thank you for asking me to share.
Thank you so much, Derek. That was great. We do have a little time left, so I might read something out from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, this is about somebody new who comes into the fellowship, and it's the chapter is called A Vision for You, and this is just an excerpt. So the person, so we say, we have shown how we got out from under. You say, yes, I'm willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring and glum, like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus we find the fellowship, and so will you. How is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? You are going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds. High and low, rich and poor, these are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among them you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself, that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbour as thyself. It may seem incredible that these men are to become happy, respected, and women, sorry, happy, respected, and useful once more. How can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? The practical answer is, since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. Should you wish them above all else and be willing to make use of our experience, you are sure they will come. The age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. That was always a very important reading to me, because I found great joy having joined the fellowship. That's all we've got time for today, and I'd like to thank all the speakers, Rob, Catherine and Derek, for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We're on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. here on Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757, or go to the AA website at aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information. Now, could we all close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer, please? God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you, everyone.